My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about Better Call Saul currently.
Mm-hmm. And this week we are talking about episode 2 of season 2, Amarillo.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Named that because of one location in it.
Also the color of a flyer.
Yeah, that is true. This is an episode written by Jonathan Glatzer, directed by Scott Winant. Originally premiered on February 29th, 2016, a dark day. This is we're in when I talk about playing footsie with Davis and Maine. These are the episodes I'm talking about, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
These weird kind of middle episodes where, like, we know it's a bad fit. Yeah. We're going to go back and forth for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I like this a little bit because Jimmy has a creative solution and flirts with something that he is genuinely good at, that he could just go and do, but that ends up becoming part of the, you know, his overall mythos, right? His video production, his commercials.
Yeah. I think that for me, like, I get that part. This feels a little bit like we have to explain everything.
Yeah.
That Saul did. Everything has to have an origin. Mm-hmm. Like, a thumbnail that YouTube keeps serving me is like 29 details that Better Call Saul never explained. And it's the inflatable Statue of Liberty. And that's popped up a couple times where people are like upset that we didn't get an episode of Better Call Saul about him learning about an inflatable Statue of Liberty or whatever.
If we didn't see the money changing hands, we didn't see him like renting one size of van to haul it away and then realizing, oh, it doesn't actually shrink down as much as I thought. So needing to get a bigger van.
It could have been a whole montage, you know, some Calypso music or something.
Yeah. This feels more fundamental because it does. Basically anything that is about Jimmy's talents, I am into. I agree. Like, before we started recording, I said, like, these two episodes are going to be pretty quick. That we're recording today, we're doing this in the next episode, kind of in one session. I agree with you that this one specifically ends up being a little bit slight. I think I'm just kind of scraping at the bottom of the peanut butter jar for, like, the things I can say that are meaningful in this.
Yeah. And I like those bits too. Like, it's still an episode of Better Call Saul. I still like most of what happens in it just fine. It just doesn't move this is where, when I say that, I'm talking about where I can feel the stretch of them deciding to stretch out the series.
Yeah.
Like, in the best places, I can't feel the stretch. This is a plot line in which I can feel the stretch. The other thing that pops up next episode that ends up making this feel off to me is Clifford Maine is just kind of wrong.
Yeah.
About all of this stuff. Like, it doesn't, it does reveal something that Jimmy is good at, but when he is punished equally for things he is good at and things he's morally transgressing at, it feels like, I was trying to think of, like, in Better Call Saul, is the idea that not following the rules does eventually lead to murder and, you know, things like that? Because this is a pretty arbitrary, dumb rule. And I understand not everything is a message. You can't just draw, like, a straight line. Not everything is moralizing. But it's just when they kind of throw in stuff like this where Jimmy disobeys an arbitrary rule and presents it on the same continuum as a slippery slope for the actual moral crimes he does, it feels a little awkward to me.
Yeah.
Not bad. Like, not horrible. You know, just a little awkward. I'm noticing, like, a little tension.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah. It's it definitely is they're hitting, like, this is a Rumble Strip episode, right?
Yeah.
Like, or it's like Crumple Zone. Like, okay, like, does this car needs to slow down a ton, and this is where, like, the time warp is going. Talking about giving Jimmy mixed messages like that just makes me picture, like, we're training him like one of the Avatar pets in Black and White.
Yeah, I guess slap him or throw his poo or whatever.
Yeah.
Or he throws his poo at you. I haven't played Black and White in a long time.
It's a lot of poo throwing. Yeah.
There's a lot of poo throwing because Mullen is a genius, you know?
Yeah.
That's him, right?
Yep.
He's the Black and White guy. Basically, the storyline here is he's struggling with client outreach for Sandpiper. Chuck and Kim are both watching him, kind of an angel and devil on his shoulder saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But he decides to shoot a commercial And the transgression he does that is somehow a big deal, that is consequential for the rest of the season and, like, you know, for quite a while, is that he decides to shoot an Arrow commercial and ask for forgiveness rather than permission.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe the storyline also speaks to me because I worked in client facing video production.
Yeah.
Maybe. The mic stuff is heading in an interesting direction, but it is we're in the Stacy zone here.
Yeah, a little Stacy's bit. Mom has got it going on.
Yeah.
Stacy is a mom and has not got it going on.
She's got it going on, and it is ambiguously either paranoia about where she lives or wanting to extort Mike for a better place.
Yeah. Yeah. Still unclear with this. Like, yeah. Kind of weird. Yeah. Mike just shows up with a big envelope full of cash. And then Stacy looks at him like, ugh, this again. And then says, you know, well, here's another thing that I don't like. Yeah. And it's really unclear what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Eventually, as soon as next episode, this leads to interesting character stuff for Mike.
Yes.
You know, and it ends up being good. This episode is a little slight. So mm-hmm. it's kind of a slight episode.
Yeah.
This one.
We're taking the stakes and we're making them lower.
Yep. We'll get into it. This might be, as we mentioned, this is probably gonna be a quick episode because in terms of things that happen, like, not a lot.
Yeah.
You know, these two episodes could have been one. Mm-hmm. It almost feels like.
Yeah. So we start out with Jimmy, leaning up against a building in, cowboy lawyer garb. Mm-hmm. And it's a big building with a big, like, Texas silhouette, you know, in Texas colors on there. He's an Amarillo, hence the title. He's got on a bolo tie. Mm-hmm. And he has arranged for a Sandpiper Crossing shuttle heading to a buffet restaurant called Birdie's, arranged for it to break down right next to him so he can get on. He pays off the driver, and he's going to do a little song and dance.
Yeah, he's gonna solicit and not quite solicit.
Yes.
He's looking for Alma May, who did respond to their mailer. Jimmy couldn't follow up, and he's just going to loudly talk to her.
Yes.
About what her problem is and how it could be everyone's problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, using examples and everything, doing the Jimmy charm with old people.
Yes.
There. You know, let's say, you know, Birdie's Homestyle Buffet charges $23 for a biscuit. Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of thing. Yeah. He's really playing it up.
Just like, oh, you know, and what's your and say your nephew, what's his
you
name?
You have a nephew, right?
Yeah. You know, well, you want him to handle it, right? You know, and I can be your nephew, Steve. Right?
Yes. It's a little slimy. You know? You know, nothing makes him sadder than seeing people like his Nana and Bobo. Bobo is really good. Bobo. The Greatest Generation getting overcharged by big companies.
God, do you remember the Greatest Generation craze back around this time?
Yeah, Greatest everybody Generation was huge.
Everybody was sucking them shits off.
That doesn't seem fair. in terms of names, that's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
That's, you know, raises a lot of questions answered by my generation name.
Just a real fuck you to your kids.
Yeah, real fuck you to everybody who comes after you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's not, I guess there could still be the no, really, this is the Greatest Generation. And they could still top it, but right now everyone's just getting like letters. Fucking sucks, you know. So this is solicitation.
Yes.
And this is illegal. I didn't mm-hmm. know that. Because people talk about like ambulance chasers and stuff like that. You are not supposed to do this.
No.
Didn't really know that. Mm-hmm. Learned that from this show.
Yeah. Like, not allowed to go up to somebody and say, hey, your situation requires a lawyer, and here I am.
Yeah. Whereas like, it seems like it might be handy sometimes. I understand why it's illegal, especially with old folk. You know, you mm-hmm. can lie to them and stuff, but I generally want people to have lawyers.
A lot of terrible things happen because old folks are really easy to fool.
Yes. Yeah. And the law is dumb. Cliff calls Jimmy. At this, you know, HHM Davis and Maine meeting about the sandpaper case. They're meeting in person here, and he doesn't, he talks to him. Jimmy doesn't respond until Cliff starts talking him up. And he talks about his successful client outreach. You know, he mm-hmm. got 23 clients, and this is huge.
Yes.
You know, from one mailer here. And Chuck, who is just here as last episode to bear witness, is just here as a slime ball to poke holes in this.
Yes, because Cliff remains like, wow, amazing job. You're a credit. I think even Howard compliments him too.
Yeah,
like,
Howard's okay, into it too.
Yeah.
There's a great little bit here where Howard is ready to move on and he looks for Chuck for approval.
Yes.
It's gross.
And you don't know that Chuck's there until you hear the crinkle. He's got the space blanket suit on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he's like, oh, well, you know, one. So how did these people come in? We only got one direct mailer response, but you went up there and you got 24 new clients. You know, well, this weaselly language. Well, might not some parties, the opposing counsel, for example, see this discrepancy and begin to suspect some solicitation? And yeah. He's not wrong. This is one of these things where you can spoil the entire case. You can get whole parts of the class thrown out. Fruit of the poison tree, kind of that kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah. If they can prove it, you know. Mm-hmm. Jimmy says basically the communities are very tight. You know, everyone talks about everything and it makes sense for people to want to get their money back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no harm, no foul. And the this actually makes sense.
Yes.
Cliff, you know, thanks, Chuck, for keeping an eye out. Like, mm-hmm. It is good that we do this. Everyone is dotting T's and crossing I's and thanking each other.
Yes.
Here and just kind of moving along. Lawyership. Yeah. You know, the price of excellence is eternal vigilance.
The price of excellence is not letting Jimmy do what he does.
You know, whatever he wants. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy starts trying to play footsie with Kim like she's done before, but she denies it. She pulls the foot, you know? Mm-hmm. And Jimmy realizes, okay, you know, this isn't just pissing off Chuck. You know, I'm also beholden to Kimmy. You know, Kimmy and Jimmy, she says, actually, you know what? I'm going to be pulling back from direct visits. You're right. Suspicion is bad. I'm going to come up with another way.
Yes. And this is not enough. Kim doesn't wait for him after the meeting.
Yep. She doesn't believe him. You know, mm-hmm. She doesn't wait for him. He catches up with her and she says, you know, what kind of song and dance were you doing? You know, I know you weren't just in some day room, you know, if you were just in some day room doing the bingo talk. And he's like, mm-hmm. No, I wasn't in a day room, you know, technically. And she lays out what's going to be the conflict that's going to make this whole thing really, with the commercial, super consequential. Mm-hmm. This matters because she put herself on the line.
Yeah.
You know, her reputation is on the line. She vouched for him. He's got to do things right.
Yes. Because it is not just his career, which he was ready to throw away. You know, last week, right?
Yeah.
And Jimmy's first response to this, like, here's his insecurity. Here's years of being chucked coming out.
Yeah.
You know, so what? You threw me a bone? And he's like, no, asshole. You know that I believe in you. Like, she's pissed at him for jumping to the worst conclusion about her.
Yeah. Yeah. When she's right about what he's doing, even if I think her moral stance on it is, I don't know. You know, but she says, you know, both you and I know you can do the job, but you just have to do it right.
Yes.
You know, follow the rules. You're in the straight world now, mm-hmm. Which we know Jimmy cannot abide.
No.
We go to Mike. Thank God we get the origin for Kaylee's pig toy that Mike used to,
as
to the guy who killed Chen.
Distraction. Yeah.
Yeah. God, I cannot wait for the webisode where they talk about that inflatable, you know. And he leaves Stacy a big brown sack of money. And she acts like something's up and asks, and she's like reluctant with it and says, I heard gunshots last night.
Yeah.
You know, I called the cops, you know, I heard three shots and they showed up an hour later and there's nothing to be done, of course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mike says, I'm staying the night. And Stacy goes, that doesn't spend. Mm-hmm. You can't stay the night. You asked and I told you, now get the fuck out of here, money
you're
man.
You're making me regret having brought this up.
I don't understand, like, Stacy during this. I really wish that had been more clear. Because, like, I understand that she, if she's not extorting him, mm-hmm. why is she so mad? You know?
You get the sense that she's stressed. You know, obviously single mom kind of stuff. I think that a lot of this might actually be sold better. They're living in a fucking palace. I was like, wait, did they move to a new, like, have they already? No, that's this plot line. This is supposed to be the bad place with fucking cathedral ceilings.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the cheap real estate in Albuquerque is a major plot point. Like the fact that if you live in any city where things are more expensive, this looks ludicrous.
Yeah.
It also doesn't look like a bad neighborhood.
No.
If they were going to make that, you know, so that also makes it feel a little bit like she's being extortionist, but then that plot doesn't pay off. So it's fucking weird.
It's the Homer at the Bat episode with what's his name, Sosa, or running into the burning building and like taking everything out. It's like, my baby, my dog, my washer and dryer. Washer on the left, please.
Jimmy goes over the mailer responses with his assistant Omar, and he's gotten nothing from Colorado Springs. That's unusual. And he reports this to Cliff. Saying, you know, it's important. Cliff is on his way out from here. And he says, I think that the staff has taken the mailers. You know, I can't prove that, but I think that's what's happening. We should at least get a couple. But I have an idea. A TV commercial. Yeah. The 3 to 4 p.m. always free because they watch Murder, She Wrote. Guaranteed eyeballs. Yeah. And Cliff's like, you know, Davis and Maine ran a commercial a while ago. How about we talk next week after I get back in town?
Yeah.
And Jimmy says, okay.
Yes. And then he goes to check out the old commercial. You know, what do they run? And it is super basic. It is just voiceover over text over kind of an undulating blue abstract background. And, you know, because it's the early 2000s, this got to be a mesothelioma case, right?
Yeah. And we've all seen a commercial like this. These are on TV a bunch.
Yeah. And Jimmy has got to know.
By how shitty this is, you know, and Omar says, you know, I remember they worked really hard to get it right. You know, to get what right? You know, there's nothing here. Like the swirl, like the background screensaver effect. They wanted it kind of nebulous, but not too nebulous. You know, and then there was the issue of speed. There was a lot of meetings about that.
This is so
comical
on point.
Bureaucracy.
This is
but true.
Yes. And then, I have stress dreams about this shit, Gary.
It's real silly. People are bad.
Fucking brand compliance people. Yeah.
So here's another thing that always feels a little bit artificial about this plot line to me is that Jimmy is so overwhelmed by his desire for showmanship and to do this right that he can't wait 2 days.
Right.
Like he just had the conversation with Kim where Kim's begging him to do this. It has to happen for plot function. Kim has to be punished for something Jimmy has done.
Yes.
To motivate him to give himself away later and give it all up. But it just feels artificial to me.
It feels, for somebody who patiently doted on Chuck, he is very, very impulsive.
Yeah, 2 days. You know, it's like my buddy's joke about Barely Illegal magazine. Like, you know, can you not wait a day? You know, it just, or like 28 days later. I always think about that, where the army turns into wild sex assault monsters because they didn't get laid for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, fucking, I do that in a sprint when I was that age, you know, or I do that in a walk. That's nothing. Yeah. So it feels contrived a little bit to me. You know, he says, you know, whatever happened to showmanship, like he knows this commercial sucks and there's an element of personal pride for it, for him in this, but him being that short-sighted feels incorrect to me.
Yes. It feels stupid and we don't like when characters act more stupid than we know they are.
Yeah, because Jimmy's smart. Like, that is part of the point of Jimmy. It's only an interesting conflict between him and Howard if they're both smart.
Yes.
You know, they both have their flaws, but Jimmy's flaw has always been, you know, ends justify the means, not necessarily impatience. He does some amazingly patient shit in pursuit of his actual goals. And yes, he's self-sabotaging. He doesn't actually want the job.
Right.
You know, but like, if the idea is his self-conscious is doing this because he knows he'd get in trouble, you know, I don't know. Just doesn't feel doesn't pass the sniff test to me. So he's going ahead with it. He's got the shitty AV teens and they're at Mrs. Strauss's house, you know, and he's trying to pitch them their vision. I love the gormless cameraman who's into it.
Like, no, the audio guy.
Yeah. The audio guy rather. He was like pretty into it. You know, he's like, oh, you know, all the greats worked in advertising. You're now starting in, you know, a first step onto a brand new path. And he's just got this big smile on his face. Like, yeah, I am.
Yeah. There we go. It's great. Yeah. And the, you know, the dark haired one, Julian, you know, it's like, I don't care. This is stupid. I just want my $100. He's saving up for a VX2000. I could geek out about that camera.
But, yeah. Also very of the time.
Yes.
The, Mrs. Strauss, the idea is she's going to sit in a rocking chair while the camera dollies in. You know, he's like, you didn't ask for a dolly. We don't have a dolly. Yeah, we'll fucking figure something out.
Yeah.
You know, and the good laugh line here.
So that's it. An old lady in a chair. That's your commercial. Does anybody like you?
Does anybody like you is powerful.
Yeah.
Like that's a really good thing to say.
Yeah.
That's a strong move.
Yeah.
It's a high
like,
card.
When he said that, I was like, oh yeah, how many times have I thought, not in those exact words, but that exact same thing about a person?
Oh, yeah. It's the thing I used to think all the time back when I was in the online mines was like, oh, you're fucking fun.
Yeah.
You know, like
who are you for?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, what is your target? What's your demo? What's your Q zone, asshole? They're interrupted. Mrs. Strauss is riding her chair lift down the stairs, and she says, I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. McGill. Mm-hmm. Jimmy frames this with his hands. He's very excited.
And he's got an idea. He wants the smooth camera motion, and he sees an asset that he didn't realize, the chairlift.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So Mike does a long, kind of boring stakeout, eating a sandwich, listening to a baseball game. He basically stays up all night. And he hears a bang. He gets out his gun, but a car pulls down the street slowly, and it's somebody delivering newspapers.
Yeah.
You know, whoopsie doodle.
Paper hitting concrete. Yeah. And the sun pulls up, and he goes away to do more work, sitting and reading.
Yeah, sitting and reading. Mike needs to sleep, Walter. He gets a call from Stacy saying something happened. She's freaking out and crying.
Yeah.
He speeds back to the house. Kaylee's at school, but she has something to show him, and it's a little damage to the stucco on the outside of the house. She says she heard shots again, 3 shots at 2:30 a.m., and she thinks this is gunfire damage. Somebody took a shot at the house.
Yeah. And he can't tell her, like, that didn't happen. I was here the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, because a little bit of a betrayal of trust. It's like, hey, you know, is it possible that you dreamed it? And she, you know, wigs out at this. And Mike's okay here. The delivery on that. Like, he's fucking anguished by this.
Yeah. It sucks. Well, I mean, he should be. It fucking sucks. Like, it's irritating. She's like, I was here and you weren't. Like, again, why does she hate him? And he's, I believe you. I believe you. It's fine. End of story. We're getting you and Kaylee out of this house. And she goes, good. And walks away. Give me another bag. And walks away.
Money,
so he's
got to
come up
money
with a big apartment. Big apartment shaped bag. Next. Not trying to make light of, being scared of where you live or anything like that. It just, I think this is probably the intent. Was one way or the other. I think that the writers and directors did not clarify it. And it's, again, a plot function to get Mike where we need him to be.
Yeah.
I don't think they think anyone is that interested in the house that Kaylee and Stacy live in.
Right.
This is purely a function. It reminds me of the Jimmy plotline that's going on now, where it is purely a character acting in a way that feels a little bit off to make another character have a growth moment.
Yes. Like, Mike needs to... like have a standard of living. We see how he lives. He doesn't need any money, but like there needs to be
motivation a to get on Bad Choice Road, and otherwise he's not going to do it. And that's also what's gonna happen with Jimmy. Like, Jimmy's motivation is Kim, Mike's motivation is Stacy. It's Simpakerky. It's nonstop, but the actual individual choices feel weird to me.
And a cloud kind of rolling over this is the fact that we know that Stacy's character is not developed.
Yes.
And just that's from having seen the entire series and coming back to it. Like, they have not really done anything with her except some pretty good work in that 5-0 episode. And she's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, she just exists as a prop. Like, she's fun in the support group scene too. Like, or she's useful because she brings Mike to that. Like, we don't care about Stacy. So it just ends up making any kind of scrutiny on her feel weird, I think. So Jimmy's at his short-term apartment, and Kim says, who put this big bowl of balls in every corporate apartment? This is a real ass thing.
Yep.
Where you'll be in a staged apartment and they'll just be a large punch bowl with wicker balls in it to no end. I have always been confused by this shit. Like, it's not even potpourri. It's kind of a decorative object, but it looks like garbage.
Yeah.
I don't understand why this was built or bought.
I see those shits and I think, why would you have something that would gather that dust? At least to have it look real cool.
Art. Like, you can have art.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's some world market bullshit.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah. But it's just a, you know, it's some banter. He's living in a real tacky place, you know? And she says, you know, I will miss the nail salon's vibrating chairs. He says, for you, I can make any chair in this place vibrate, which is
pretty fun. He's happy.
Yeah.
You know, and they're flirting, you know, Jimmy's ready. He's going to premiere the commercial. Yes. He puts the tape, he sets the scene, you know, what's happening in Murder, She Wrote. And the thing happens as he described, except the camera was riding down the chair left.
Yeah. You know, looking at Mrs. Strauss, you know, the voiceover is telling this sad story. Like, you know, one day all my money was gone. And she turns to the camera and a single tear rolls down her cheek.
What happened to my nest egg?
Yes. And the tear is Visine.
Yep, exactly. And Kim's like, oh, that looks professional. But then she goes, what? Clifford Maine went for this?
Yeah.
And Jimmy doesn't want to lie. You know, he's like, well, I'm head of the department, you know. Basically, Cliff did not approve.
Yeah.
You know, the next morning at the office, Jimmy's staring at the VHS tape, carries it over Cliff's office, is about to run it by him, and then instead just goes ahead, calls the Colorado Springs TV station.
Yes. Fires the cannon indoors.
Yes.
So Mike is at the vet with Kaylee's dog for the fifth checkup in 3 weeks.
This is the healthiest dog in Albuquerque. Like, this dog gets better health care than you or I. Mike.
He's here to see what jobs are available. You know, like, oh, there's bodyguarding work for $200. Just, you know, real kind of penny ante shit. And he says, well, you know, enforcer work for some loan sharks, you know, and Mike says, yeah, I'm not going to go break legs. And he's like, well, it's not always breaking legs. Sometimes you just need to be scary. But, you know, Mike has a line. He's not going to cross.
He doesn't want to do that shit.
Yeah.
You know, and the vet lays it out like, hey, it sucks that this is the case, but if you want next level pay, you have to do next level work.
Yeah.
You know, the vet's like, you know, this is what I have for you. And Mike goes, go ahead and give me the bodyguarding job.
Yeah.
He's cool. You know, I'll call you with the where and when, you know, so he's going to kind of penny ante and save up for an apartment slowly at this point.
Yes.
Yeah. Jimmy's pacing in his office, checking in with Omar, whether or not the phones are ready because he's waiting for calls to come in. Mm-hmm. The commercial is about to air.
Yeah.
You know, he does his little spell that he cast on the phone, you know, but then the lines light up. They get so many calls.
Yeah, it takes a while because old people move slowly to get back to their rooms.
Yeah, and they had to finish what happened in Murder, She Wrote.
Of course. Yeah. But it worked. Like, it worked better than he could have hoped, right? The lines fill up. Oh. Yeah.
Stacy is sleeping in Kaylee's room here. Mike's in the living room sleeping.
Yeah.
And he gets this call from Caldera. A job did come in. It's serious money. And the client specifically asked for Mike.
Yeah.
So that's suspicious. And Mike does not know who this is.
Right. You know, who's the guy?
Yeah. Who is the guy? We cut over to Kim showing Jimmy Ice Station Zebra. Thank God he got the origin for his holding company here. Yep. Everything he knows, I need to see where he knew it.
I'm so split because, like, it is annoying that you get the little nods, but also, like, I really enjoy this classic movie fandom that the two of them have. And we get like a little detail. Like Kim says, you know, well, my dad loved this movie. This might be the only thing we know about her dad. Right. Yeah. Like, you know, she has this affection presumably from, you know, something she shared with her dad who wasn't really in the picture, it seems.
Yeah.
Right.
We're only going to learn about her mom later. I like the old movie fandom. I just don't know why it has to be Ice Station Zebra. And have that come back. Like, it just, and it's, I really notice it more in episodes with low incident.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think there's a direct correlation there. Like, I don't hate this episode. There's interesting things in this episode and the next one. It's just like funny when you lay out how often they're doing this.
Yeah.
Here. It feels, again, it feels kind of, I don't know, feels a little forced.
It's also something where, like, I think you maybe get one per episode, and the fact that we, like, this is put on the same level as the origin of the pig toy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, neither of which were ever important. They're Easter eggs. Like, I also, when he called it Ice Station Zebra, knowing he liked old movies was enough for that.
Yes.
For me. I could imagine the time that they watched it together the same way I could imagine Mike buying a pig toy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, so also like he has a, his holding company is called that because he likes Kim, right?
Yeah.
Like
he has like, holdover things.
Yes.
You know, but again, we illustrate that line a lot with stuff he keeps around.
Yes.
You know, and he's not really in it because he's nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, what is this thing you have with men trapped on the North Pole? You know, this thing takes place at the South Pole. It literally couldn't be more different. you know, ironic, or not ironic, technically true.
Yes.
You know, Jimmy's phone rings and Cliff is furious.
Yes.
You fucking ran the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't show me or the partners.
Yeah. You know, Howard said you were a little eccentric. He didn't tell me you were a goddamn arsonist, which is an overreaction.
I think so. Yeah. Like, again, we're going to learn why they don't like this. And I understand their point, but it's hung up on shit that doesn't matter. It is showing just a bad fit some more.
Yeah. And you know, Jimmy makes a weak argument saying, well, you did put me in charge of client outreach. And he makes a stronger one saying like, hey, listen, like in two days, we're going to find out for like, you know, less than $1,000 worth of effort. We got 100 signups, right? This is a test, you know, it's a trial balloon. And it was a good success.
Yeah. He keeps bringing up the money, which is an interesting illustration of their values.
Yes.
They're going to meet about it. And when Jimmy comes back, he pretends the call went better than it did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything, what did I miss? Anything blow up yet? Wink.
Yeah.
So Mike pulls into a construction site at the end. He meets with a new client who is Nacho.
Yeah.
Nacho's back.
Being at this construction site and the way that it's shot, it feels for all the world like they're trying to set up a Gus reveal for this.
Yeah.
Like he's been watching him from the shadows, which basically happens in a season from now, but
they're going to play that out even slower, you know, but it's not, I'm happy to have Nacho back.
Yes. Yeah.
And he says, listen, I have a problem I can't solve myself. There's a guy I need to have go away.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to play the hits a little bit. But it's great stuff. So I do not mind it.
Do not mind at all.
That's the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, talking about All at Once, I am more down on it than I think, more down on it than I actually am. I feel like I would be a little bit annoyed if I was watching this week to week.
It plays just fine. Like when I feel like when watching it, it was a joy. There is a sense of dread. Mm-hmm. That comes through when you know that Jimmy's going to get yelled at, you know, for this. Like, there's a feeling
the worst
of like,
possible thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shit. He's going to get dressed down by his boss. That's a bad feeling.
Yeah.
He's going to have a meeting that, like, really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. It just having the fullness of the series and looking back on it, there's just a couple of things that just don't feel. It's not even they feel bad. They don't feel as good as the show usually does.
Yeah.
You know, I'm holding this to a ridiculous standard because it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's at its best, it doesn't engage in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little cutesy and slight. Mm-hmm. Not bad, but every season an episode has to be the worst episode of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll be surprised if it's not this one. And it doesn't mean it's a bad episode. It's just something that has to be the worst.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still great. Because it's still Better Call Saul and still fun for performances, and I still fucking hate Chuck.
Yep.
And it is it's nice to see Davis and Maine having not a villain turn, but a fucking square turn. These nerds.
these nerds cannot recognize an effective strategy.
Yeah, because of their fucking image. Mm-hmm. Unlike us, who we know an effective strategy, it's joining us at patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Make whatever commercials you want.
If the result you want is please make commercials for us. No, don't actually do that. If the result you want is a lot of content, joining that Patreon is a great strategy.
Yes. You can also leave us ratings, reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, share the show. It is weekly now. So people who want to catch up, they can catch up with the first season of this and then kind of cruise into this and stay locked in. Have a good time then. And you can join us and thank you, our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah. Until next time, don't be a fucking nerd.
Come on, bud.